Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And good morning, everybody. Well, not so fast. Just when you thought KU might be hanging on the precipice, they pull themselves back into the mix of the Big 12 race, and things are as they usually are in this winter of college basketball. Shane Dennis, Bruce Hurdle with you this morning as we roll through the next 2 hours. You can join the fray, 869-1240. That's the Sports Daily hotline. Mariah Lazos on the other end. She's running the show today. Well, Shane, I'll tell you what, TCU had their chances and couldn't cash. KU, it was a weird game. Kansas looked so good for so long, then kind of fell off the edge of the earth, allowed TCU back in it, but somehow were able to pull themselves back up by the bootstraps to get it into overtime and made enough plays either from the field or at the line in overtime to get a really absolute must road win.
Yeah, it looked like they got tired down the stretch, blowing that 12-point lead in the second half. I thought TCU really settled down the stretch for just running out the shot clock and then trying to make a play at the end of it as opposed to actually running an offense. But they had a chance at the end of regulation, missed a contested shot that would have won it. Kudos to KU. They had three players foul out, and McCormick had four fouls. So if he'd fouled out, you're talking about walk-ons are in the game in overtime. They did what they had to do. They barely got by. Three guys had double-doubles, but Devon Dotson played a great game, but he had to play every minute. He never came off the floor. Good win, but I just wonder how sustainable this is. And I know it's extreme, three guys fouling out, but those kinds of things happen every once in a while.
Well, you know, and your question is absolutely fair, but if they had lost that game, we wouldn't even be talking about sustainability. We'd be talking about, okay, they're out of the race, essentially. Now it's just a question of getting themselves ready for the Big 12 tournament and the NCAA tournament beyond that. This, at the very least, energizes them and pushes them forward, gives them in the month of February, in the middle of the cold, icy dog days, although I'm not so sure that was probably applicable in Fort Worth, but you get my point, of college basketball, that you were able to get a win that maybe most didn't think that you would get, and they weren't favored in that game, although it doesn't surprise you that they'd win it. This is what Kansas does, even if they haven't done that during most of this season. So it gives you a little bit of wind in the sails, and get you ready to head on down the stretch with a little bit more emphasis. Fran Fraschilla made the comment last night that he thought it was a tipping point for both franchises, well, both programs, in that if Kansas won, which they did in overtime, he thought that they would end up sharing the Big 12 title. So in his estimation, even two games behind Kansas State in the loss column right now, he sees Kansas making up ground and this to be probably a multiply shared championship. As many as six teams are still in this mix mathematically, and five probably likely, but six are still in this mix. So from that standpoint, if you believe it, and I tend to, it was a huge game for Kansas on a lot of different levels.
Yeah, now it's for sure not over. The opportunity is still there. I would love to give some truth serum not only to KU fans but just college basketball fans in general. How many times we all have flip-flopped determining, can KU do this again? You know, 5 minutes ago, I would have said, no, I don't think they can. Well, now it's like, well, they beat TCU in overtime with a shorthanded bench. Maybe they can't. You know, and, or you could just subscribe to the theory, well, until they lose, I'm not going to go against them. It's kind of like the Patriots theory. It's like, I'm not going to bet against them until they burn me. They have West Virginia at home next, and that's a downtrodden program. And they got all week to get ready for that one. So it's still real. 15 in a row. And whether they share
Here's
it or not,
that's the Kansas rule. Here's the Kansas rule, and you're right on it. You got to bury them, and until they're buried, and you can put the what is it, a stethoscope or whatever it is to listen for a heartbeat 6 feet under, and you, that's the only time that you better, you don't take anything for granted. That's how you win 14 straight championships. Shane, we forget, and I'm not saying that people, I'm just saying in general, people forget this team was down and out a year ago. I mean, they were all but out of the Big 12 race and further down the stretch than they are right now, and they came back to win it. Now, I don't think this team is as good as a year ago, because that team a year ago, regardless of whom else they had Devontae Graham.
Mm-hmm.
That made them a better team, period.
Yep.
This isn't as good a team, but it still has the capability of going into a place like last night where TCU is 11-1, one loss at home, and get a win when they absolutely had to have it. Absolutely had to have a win. Could not afford to go to five losses with the schedule that they have remaining, which includes the two big ones, Texas Tech on the road, Kansas State at home.
Mm-hmm.
You absolutely had to have that win. And I don't know if you saw it on social media, but that was a widely recognized in that KU locker room. They understood the importance of that game last night, and the celebration was great. It was
best
cool.
They had
it
all
was,
year, according to Bill Self.
Yep, absolutely, no question. It was, and you could just tell how much that team had invested in that 45 minutes of action last night. It was a hell of a win. It was just a hell of a win. And, you know, Bill Self just is remarkable in getting teams ready to play with whatever hand he has,
mm-hmm.
whether it's a hand that, if you want to argue, that he has by some of his own doing or his program's own doing. I don't care what it is. Just from a standpoint of coaching, having a team ready to play, and putting them in a position to win. Guy's unbelievable. That was just a great effort last night, I thought.
Started four freshmen. This is not the same team that beat Villanova and Tennessee earlier this year. And I think that's a big reason why the celebration was the way it was last night after they beat TCU, which if you'd have told me before the beginning of the season that they're going to party like it's 1999 after they beat TCU in Fort Worth, I'd be like, why? What? Really? Act like you've been there.
You're right.
You know? But these guys haven't. You know, no Azubuike, no DeSosa, no Vic, no Garrett again. And I think he's even doubtful for this Saturday. So there's another guy that's, you know, not going to be in the mix to help. And that's just a skeleton crew right now. But Devon Dotson, one of those freshmen, 25 points, six free throws in the last 40 seconds of overtime. There was plenty of adversity for the Jayhawks last night. Plenty of it.
Can you give me another Obagi? Because that dude, man, God.
I know. 20 points and 11 rebounds.
It's a little too late for him to get first-team consideration, but can he be on the second? Can he get – because that dude is – he's a difference maker.
Yeah. Yep, sure is. Three different Jayhawks had double-doubles, but three of them fouled out too. And you know it's dire, and you know it's a head-scratching KU season when Mitch Lightfoot fouls out, and you're like, oh, man, Mitch Lightfoot just fouled out.
What are we going to do now?
Oh, my God. Lightfoot fouled out. Now what?
With all due respect to Mitch Lightfoot, who has played really, really well.
Last two games, he's at least been a guy. Yeah.
I mean, at least they have a bit of a presence around the rim with him in there. Now, he fouled out last night. But he misdirected and redirected a few shots last night,
He had three blocks and six rebounds in 22 minutes. So it was more than just a lampshade.
So he was productive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. He was productive. But man, I'm telling you, and you brought this up yesterday, Shane. I mean, KU's like a cat with nine lives, and that's what great programs are. They find ways to get it done. They find ways to stay afloat. They find ways to get wins when the odds are against them. They find way to win games in overtime with four freshmen starting for the first time in 6 years at Kansas. And by the way, the last time that they did it, the four freshmen that started are all now in the NBA. So, I mean, you've got to put this team away and bury them. That's the only way you're going to do it. And I don't know who around the Big 12 knows it. You would think everybody knows it by now, right?
Well, yeah, but who's capable of it? Who's the one
that's the question.
Who's the one that's going to choke them out?
And TCU, and you're right. I thought that TCU, for a team that has experience, I didn't think they looked very experienced down the stretch or in the overtime. I think you used the term settled. I think that settled, I think that's a very apropos thing. And when is it, and you and I have done this a fair amount of time, when is it that we got to the point of isolation being the best, being the only play that teams run?
You don't do that the whole game, but when you need a hoop, that's what you do?
Exactly. It seems so odd to me. Just give a guy a ball and say, okay, you know, hang around out there. And I'm not saying that that's what Jamie Dixon said or what other coaches say, but boy, it sure ends up that way a lot more than it doesn't it? Just a guy out there dribbling a ball and then go ahead.
And I get that it takes a turnover out of play, basically, because the guy guarding him is going to let him just pound it out there. So
true.
You got to at least have a shot to either tie or win it, and you don't want a turnover. But it's pretty clear that that is one of the, you know, the clock play or whatever is one of the ones that gets neglected most often, because very often you're like, wow, that worked. I think their last three, I'd have to go back and look. I think their last two, if not their last three possessions were that way.
They
just stood out there and pounded it the whole shot clock.
Exactly. And not one high pick and roll. Not even a high pick and roll.
There was one that was kind of half-assed, but nothing came of it.
Yeah, very half-assed. But, I mean, at the very least, go get a big guy to set a high pick and roll, and either he rolls or pops, or the guy going down the lane can dish or get to the basket. I just don't understand the whole pounding it, taking it right down to the end of the shot clock or the game clock or whatever the case may be. And, I mean, yeah, it's dramatic when you get the shot, but officials are more likely to swallow their whistles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially in that case.
Especially in that game. I mean, there wasn't going to be a foul called at the end of that. I don't know. I just think the teams is it lazy? Or I don't know what it is. But
well, in TCU's case, it was more than just the last possession, though.
Yeah.
The very last possession in a tie game, that's fine. You take a lot of risk out of it.
It was before that, though.
But it was, yeah. They did that.
Yeah.
It was like they were just hanging on for dear life, trying to have somebody, you know, play hero ball and bail them out and pull that one out of the fire. It didn't happen, and they never led in overtime. So I know, hindsight being perfect, Jamie Dixon probably had a hard time sleeping last night. That was an opportunity lost for them. And I think they're a pretty good team.
I think they are too, but I'm with you. If you've got a guy that's so good isolated that can beat a guy off the dribble, then why in the hell aren't they doing it the whole game or a good portion of it?
It's not like they have Trae Young. where anything the defense does is a mistake, and he'll make you pay for it. All due respect to Kendrick Davis. He's a freshman.
Who had good moments last
night. He did.
I mean, he was solid, man. He was solid. He helped them big time in their comeback. Although I thought Kansas helped them as much in their comeback as anything else.
Yeah, but Kansas, I think, got tired.
Yeah, I think they did too.
And then they got their second wind, or however many numbers of wind you can have with three guys fouled out in that overtime, and they look good. But yeah, Davis had 16 points, so he was okay. But he didn't have a lot of help in the last minute or so, where they just elected to try to bleed out the clock and get a prayer answered, and they didn't. So that's a big road win for Kansas. They get the whole week off to get ready for West Virginia, who's gone in the tank. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, did I see something on the crawl yesterday or last night that did they dismiss a couple of players as well? They're 2-9 in the league. Yeah.
Yeah, West Virginia did dismiss two players. Right.
Essa Ahmad and Wes Harris dismissed for violating team rules.
Well,
so that's a team that's absolutely circling the drain, and you would think KU couldn't have a better time to play them to try to exact a little revenge after that loss in Morgantown.
Oh, just pound the hell out of them and do it early and get guys some minutes. Maybe Charlie Moore plays a little bit.
And Baylor won last night, so they kind of stay in the mix there as a four-loss team. They beat OU 59-53. So Baylor 7-4, Iowa State 7-4, Texas Tech 7-4, and Kansas is 8-4. And everybody else will even up this week. K-State is at Texas tonight. So if they
good level of interest in that
if
one.
They lose, KU's half a game back.
I mean, absolutely.
With what you would think would be a gimme on Saturday.
I mean, and that's just all keep rowing the boat, keep sawing the wood, however you want to remember it, just keep after it. Kansas does it as well. Well, they do it better than anybody in the Big 12 because they've done it for so much longer, and they've done it better than everyone in the Big 12. So, yeah, this whole thing, if Kansas State loses tonight at Texas, and I don't know, I don't think they are, but if they do, then this thing is basically flipped in the course of 48 hours, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And basically,
no doubt.
The whole script is flipped in 48 hours. Boom. Pivot point. Now, all of a sudden, Kansas is right back where they need to be to win this.
Texas Tech on Wednesday at Oklahoma State. Mentioned Texas Tech, one of those teams with four losses. They're 7-4. And then Saturday, of course, West Virginia at Kansas, Iowa State at Kansas State, Baylor at Texas Tech. Baylor at Texas Tech would be maybe the marquee matchup in that one.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them with four losses, and we'll see what happens to Tech on Wednesday. So maybe they stay with four losses, maybe they don't. But you got the K-State-Iowa State game and Baylor-Texas Tech game. Whoever emerges from that one, assuming K-State takes care of business tonight,
they're a three-point underdog.
They'll be right
K-State's
there along
with
K-State's
a three-point underdog at home. I mean, at Texas. 3 points.
I believe that.
Yeah.
Texas
is a good one.
6-5.
Yep.
14-10 overall.
14-10.
Yep. All right, so
Big 12's good stuff, man. Pretty entertaining.
Yep, it's going to go down to the
wire.
Pretty
entertaining.
What's on tap is brought to you by Side Pockets, where it's Taco Tuesday. Get four hard-shell beef tacos loaded to the hilt for just $5.95 today at corner of Kellogg and Tyler at Side Pockets. What's on tap for the rest of the show? Fred Van Vliet, unfortunately, out for, they think, about 3 weeks. He got a thumb issue, and so in his stead, the Raptors signed Jeremy Lin. We'll have some NBA news and notes in the next segment. I'll let you know how often that opponents coming into Madison Square Garden and walking out with a win. The Knicks are on a historically bad run, especially at Madison Square Garden. They've only won 10 times all year. They are on a historic streak, we'll discuss. Twitter question coming up at 9:40 has to do with Girl Scout cookies. It's that time of year again. 10 o'clock. Okay, here's where the rubber really hits the road. NFL news at 10 o'clock. Kyler Murray makes his mind up, and the Browns sign Kareem Hunt. So we'll get to that in 40 minutes from now. And what can the NFL learn from the AAF?
The Alliance.
The Alliance has a bunch of different rules compared to the NFL. And I promise you, I don't know which one it'll be, but I bet you either the rules or the gimmicks on the sideline and microphones, at least one of them will be poached by the NFL.
Mildly entertaining in its first weekend, still decidedly minor league football. Fans are just going to have to decide whether or not it scratches an itch and how much of an itch for football you have.
Yep. There are a handful of players that we've heard of.
Not all, but there are some. Yeah, there are better, there are more famous coaches than there are players in this league, which is kind of odd.
Yeah.
But anyway, but we'll get to that coming up in hour number two, amongst other things. Cindy, your Twitter question, also straight ahead. Stay with us, a little NBA coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.